Welcome to another edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics. I'm your host, Dr. Paul Smolin, also known as Doc Smo. Well, today we're going to take a little detour from traditional pediatrics and discuss a unique view of a common pediatric condition, constipation. I'm going to introduce you to a thought I had many years ago about why children so frequently have trouble with the basic bodily function of defecation. You may be surprised to find out that constipation is an amazingly common symptom in children and one that pediatricians encounter frequently. I often am amazed at the myriad of ways a constipated child can present to their pediatrician. Recurrent abdominal pain, excess gas and flatulence, bloating, heartburn, morning vomiting and nausea, hemorrhoids, rectal bleeding, toilet clogging, humongous stools, and, of course, stool leakage, just to mention a few. But why is there so much constipation in children? Well, I hope to answer that question for you in today's PEDcast. I also want to share with you my personal theory of why abdominal complaints are so common in children, an explanation that involves an evolutionary theory of all things. I hope I have you curious now with that comment, so stay tuned for this very interesting edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's Portable Practical Pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Why do so many children suffer from constipation? Well, in order to understand that, we need to understand what has to happen for them to have normal bowel movements. And for that to occur, a number of things need to happen. The child needs to have a diet that's rich in fiber. They need to drink plenty of water. They need to be physically active. And they need to have access to a place where they can comfortably use the potty. And they need to respond to the normal cues of defecation with the proper response, which is go to the bathroom. Unfortunately, many of these factors are just not available to a child in today's world. Think about it. Today's kids often eat mostly processed food diet that is very lacking in fiber and rich in constipating dairy. They sit in school all day and are not allowed to be physically active. Their access to a bathroom is very limited, and if they do get to the bathroom, may not be inclined to defecate. Additionally, they have great difficulty getting water since they often need permission to go to the place where they can drink. Yes, all these factors contribute to creating constipation, but there are other factors as well. I've talked previously in other podcasts about how intertwined emotions are with intestinal motility. Every primary care doctor, especially pediatricians, learn to appreciate this relationship over time. You're just not paying attention as a pediatrician if you don't notice that many constipated kids are also unusually anxious kids. The link between anxiety and constipation is a very strong one. But why is there such a strong gut response to heightened emotions? Why does anxiety translate into constipation? Is there a reason that this unconscious and presumably autonomic response has developed in children? Could it actually be a useful or even life-saving thing? Well, I have my theories about this phenomena that I'm going to share with you right now. If you think about where our ancestors came from, all the way back to when we were living in tribes, it was likely that our ancestors were nomadic. They moved around. And they needed to be ready to move in an instant. They moved in search of food, water, better weather, or when they were threatened by other tribes. If you were a child in one of these tribes, having the tribe move on without you meant something terrible was going to happen to you. If the tribe was moving and you had to stop and poop, that could literally mean the difference between life and death for you. I believe children living in these conditions developed a reflex to suppress pooping when they were anxious because of this very fact. I think the suppression of the defecation reflex, the shutting down of gastric motility, is wired very deeply into children as a survival mechanism. I believe this is the basis of the strong link between constipation and anxiety. If your child suffers from chronic or frequent constipation, understanding this is vital to helping them control this awful condition. Addressing their diet, their water intake, their access to a bathroom, and their physical activity won't alleviate their constipation reflex unless you also lower their anxiety. Well, this is an interesting concept, don't you think? Constipation may not just be an abnormal physiologic state, but actually a useful survival reflex. Well, now I've got you thinking about constipation as a primal, primitive survival reflex with an emotional basis, a sign of psychological distress. You can see that this reflex actually developed for a reason and was very useful for children when they lived a tribal existence. Combine this innate reflex with the constipating modern lifestyle of most children today, and you get a generation of children who have difficulty with this basic bodily function, pooping. So how do we help children who suffer from chronic or recurrent constipation? Well, first, we try to relieve the factors that we can control, like ensuring that they have a diet that's rich in fiber. That means fruits and vegetables and nuts. Having your child drink plenty of water, that'll also help. I've also learned that limiting dairy intake is very important in eliminating constipation in some children. So I suggest a 2-week trial of dairy-free in a very constipated child. Of course, making sure your children are physically active as much of the day as possible will help. And don't forget to make sure that they have access to a bathroom whenever they need it, a place where they feel comfortable. And of course, it's vital that you make every attempt to ease your child's anxieties by being sensitive to their worries and trying to create an emotional environment where they feel secure and not threatened. Easily said, but maybe not so easy to do. I know. Creating a healthy emotional environment, however, has been the subject of some of my previous PEDcasts that I've linked in the show notes and will certainly be a topic of future PEDcasts. Stay tuned for more on this topic. Well, that's it for today. As always, thank you for joining me. If you enjoy exploring pediatric topics with portable, practical pediatrics, please take a moment to write a review on iTunes or on my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/docsmo. By doing so, you can help others find my blog and increase the docsmo.com audience. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, broadcasting from Studio 1E, in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina, hoping that you make haste in helping your children with their bodily waste. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music, Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor, Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music, Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry, and Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.